This morning we're reading from God's amazing infallible word from John chapter 15, and it's verses 1 to 8. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples."
Thanks very much, Nola. Let's just pray before we begin. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for your word that you've left with us. I want to thank you for, Lord, so many amazing things that we can take and read, and Lord, we can have our lives changed. And I just ask that, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, that you, Lord, would work through me with your Spirit. And that you would, bless us, challenge us, encourage us, and just meet us where we are. And I pray that you would take us from here, in Jesus' name. Okay. Morning, everyone. It's funny, it's like nerves for about 2 days, and then you get up here and you go, "Well, you all love me, you're supposed to. So, I'll do my best and trust God with the rest. And we'll go from here." It's been interesting doing the prep for this Sunday. I've been really focusing a lot on, with my own prayers, my own thoughts on being led by God and what it means to really surrender to Him. It's been on my mind and in a lot of conversations and things recently, and my family and I were fortunate enough to be able to have a little bit of time off recently. We had 3 months to travel with my two daughters, and spend a little bit of time with Jaden and Susie as well, and just have plenty of time to just travel and sort of reset a little bit, sort of rethink, reevaluate lots of things, and really pray about what God could have for us when we came back. Because if there's a change in direction, we want to be part of that. We don't want to just do what we know and do what's comfortable. And so I was really hoping that the holiday would be a time where I'd get some really clear direction. I'd be able to just like chase down this next thing. But what ended up happening during this holiday was probably more and more questions and more possibilities and more things that you go, I'm not really sure where God might lead us. But one of the beautiful benefits of that kind of time is that you end up at a place where it's all about surrender. And even if you don't get the direction that you're hoping for, or even a clear direction that you can chase down, you find yourself more and more pushed towards, when you find a direction, you're going to be ready to go for that. So it's been an interesting season for us in that regard, because there's some things that we feel like, this is really what God's doing, and then there's other things you go, look, I'm happy to be led out of this and into something else. And it's an interesting time. So I settled on the John 15 passage because it's what I felt like God was speaking to me about. And something I hope that I can share in a way that's helpful. So everyone likes the look of a well-maintained garden, and we were fortunate enough to visit a few really beautiful botanical gardens while we were away and go to some really cool places. And you can see really quickly with a garden, whether it's a, especially like a rose garden or an orchard or a vineyard, when someone is putting love into that garden, you notice it really quickly. The pruning that needs to happen happens, the weeding, the sweeping, the tidying up, all the different things that happen. You can just tell that garden's really valuable to that person, and there's love that goes into that. And on the flip side, when there's a garden that's not well maintained, you notice it really quickly. Something like the rose bushes go crazy, it's all run down. You go to a botanical garden that maybe hasn't had much funding for a few years, and you go, well, they're operating on volunteers and they're probably doing their best, but it's not quite what a garden could be. And we have a little bit of a go-to kind of phrase in our head: oh, the garden's not really getting the love that it needs. And I think that's a really, really interesting thing when we look at, as we look at this passage, where it talks about the vine and the branches, and we look at a God that loves us. And if we can consider ourselves as he does, as branches that has been grafted into his vine. And so between those two extremes of the beautiful garden that's flowering in season and the garden that's kind of running amok because the gardener doesn't know what they're doing or it's just not getting the love, there's pruning season. And that's not really pleasant. It's not really pleasant to witness for anybody. So it's not really pleasant for the roses or the vineyard or the orchard or anything. The vineyard's I'm attached to that branch, or the rose bush is I'm attached to that thing, that's part of me. But the gardener who loves his garden knows best. And I was reminded of, if you can just turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And if we look at verse 11 in there, it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And I feel like that gels really well with this passage in John 15, that there's nothing pleasant for the rose bush when it's time for pruning, and there's nothing pleasant for the orchard or the vineyard in that time. But that's what needs to happen for that rose bush to produce the beautiful flowers that it does, and that's what needs to happen for the orchard or the vineyard to produce much fruit. And that's the goal as you're reading John chapter 15, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And the same is true of people. You know really quickly if a garden is loved, and you can tell really quickly if people are getting the love that they need. And I just wanted to, take this opportunity just to fill you in quickly on something that Holly and I have been doing for a couple of years. We became foster carers a couple of years ago. And it's been a really amazing journey. It's been really beautiful at times. It's been really hard at times. There's big gaps between kids that we care for sometimes, and then there's sometimes you'll get a whole bunch of placements in a row. And as we're on holidays and as we're praying and really, yeah, thinking about praying about what God is leading us into, the foster care that we do was the one thing that we felt this is something that God has definitely led us into. And whatever else is on the table can come or go, but this is the one thing that we feel like this is what God's doing with us. And when I was considering this vine and the branches thing, when you look at the difference between a child who has been loved and has had parents that are capable and able to love that child from the get-go and have the tools to to parent really well. Like you have a happy child, and I know in a society you go, wow, what a beautiful kid. Like they're just happy. The parents are firm, but they're just like the kid is happy, and the kid is like, yeah, they're contributing to this community that they live in. And I know from what we've experienced, when you have a child placed with you whose parents have been unable for whatever reason to provide the care and the discipline that child needs to grow and to learn, then it is so much more difficult for them to know how to function and how to be happy. So I just wanted to fill you in as a body about that, because we would really appreciate your prayer as we have different placements. Holly's actually looking after our little two-year-old boy that we have. It's our third week with him now, and he's a little bit full on for here, but he's a lovely little boy, and we would just really appreciate your prayer and support with this, because it's a wonderful thing, and it's a thing that we feel like God has led us into, but it's also a pretty tough and exhausting choice at times. So we appreciate that. But back to here. So Jesus always knows what's in the way. As we look at what needs to be pruned away, he always knows what's in the way, either at the start of our walk with him or during our walk with him. And there's always going to be things. We always know what's in the way at the start, what's getting between us and God. And there's always going to be things during our walk with him that need to change. And we probably don't need to turn there right now, but if you look at Jesus' conversation with the rich young ruler, when he comes up and goes, what do I need to do? And Jesus says, look, you obey the commandments, and then you come and follow me. And also, for you, you need to give all that you have, sell all that you have, and give that to the poor. And this is a really individual thing that Jesus is talking to one person. He's going, this is what you need to do for you, to remove the thing that's in the way of following me. And he knew what was getting in the way of God and surrender, and that couldn't come in to following Jesus. And again, if we look at Jesus' contact with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is coming and talking to him, and Jesus just, it's a little bit cryptic, but he says, oh, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Like, this is the one thing for you that needs to change, because you can't come in thinking that, oh, my salvation and my righteousness is coming from the people group that I was born in. No, you need to be born again into my family. And that was just a couple of things that I wanted to bring up, because so often I think as a community, when we feel little bits being challenged with us and we can feel little bits being pruned off us, we can often take it and go, hey, everybody, this is what we all need to do because this is what God's saying to me. But there's so many things that God will just say to you that is just in your life that needs to change. And that can be really helpful to share, but it can also be a bit detrimental if we make that a prerequisite for everybody. Now, with the picture of the vine is a really beautiful one, and there's something really fantastic about where he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I love the picture that, I mean, this is a fully interconnected kind of a plant going on here. This is a community, like the branches are feeding the vine through photosynthesis and the photosynthesis, not that eventually. And the vine is feeding the branches through being connected to them, through all the nutrients that it's bringing up. And without being connected, there's no fruit that's going to happen. And that is the whole purpose. As he says further down, so says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. And this is the win right here. Like the whole purpose of the vine is to bear much fruit. And that can only happen if we're connected. And that can only happen if we're willing to have a pruning season happen every now and again. Another thing that stood out to me as I was looking at this was that the vine that we are connected to is Jesus. Like, this is the most core and central thing that connects us as a community of believers. What connects us as this core thing is not our preferred way of worship. It's not the people that we're comfortable with. It's not our favourite Bible teacher. And it's not our belief on what's going to happen in the end times. Like, those are all fine things. But they're not central, and they're not the vine, and they're not going to produce the sort of fruit that Jesus will. So that was just something that hit me. That as we're connected as branches, we're connected just to Jesus. And when early on in chapter 15, where it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And I think what stood out to me there was that, like, everything in us should be on the table at this point, whether it's our education, whether it's our what makes us, like, what has formed our identity so far, needs to be on the table to be surrendered to Jesus, so that he can prune what he needs to prune, so that we can be part of this community that bears fruit. And so I think, like, often it's easy to think that we can have a little plan with a way that we think that God might use our lives, or we think that, like, God might use me to do this and produce fruit in this way because these are my giftings and these are my strengths and these are all the things that God will probably use for my life. Yet without submitting to a gardener and a good father that loves us, we're not going to be able to get to that point that we're producing fruit with him. We're just going to be trying to do those things by ourselves through our own strength, and probably produce something a whole lot smaller than God could do through us. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of Peter and Paul in Acts. And if you look at these two characters, like, Peter is a fisherman and he's probably pretty good at his job and he's followed Jesus for a while, and there's probably not the most education or background in public speaking, yet you look at the first few chapters of Acts and he's immediately on a public speaking tour. And if you look at Peter on paper, that's probably not what you would have picked for him if you were HR and you're like, we're going to use this guy for all these things. But God was able to use him for something incredible because he was willing and he was available. And I mean, the same if you look at Paul. He's like the Pharisee's Pharisee. He's like the ultimate Jewish dude who's like, should be incredible at just staying in Jerusalem and reaching out to all the Jewish people. Yet God picks him up out of that and he takes him away and he sends him, and he has an amazing, amazing ministry with people who he had basically been brought up to despise. So if you look at these, things historically on paper, you think it's probably not where I would have used these people. But the way that we would use logic and the way that God has a plan is so different. So they were willing to be pruned, and they produced a great harvest. So I think as we go through this, we just need to trust God to do what he wants with your life. Trust that he knows best where to use you, and be surrendered and be available and be willing to be pruned. And it's not going to be enjoyable. No orchard or vineyard or rosebush enjoys the pruning season, but it's what needs to happen. I just wanted to get out. I brought some things. And I should have got Dad to bring some big ones just for dramatic effect. But I'd like to ask you. So have a think about the times, and I've thought about my times as well. It's not that fun. Think about the times in our lives where we've got regrets that we could have done without. Things that kind of we always go, yep, that's just going to, I had to leave that at the cross, but that's really something I knew I could have just done without that. And I think you'll find those times, definitely those times for me, the shame that you carry and the regret that you carry, and you go, you know what, I've got to leave that at the cross, and that actually didn't have to happen if I'd have done what I known and let God call the shots and let God do the pruning of the things that weren't helpful. Because I know for my life, those times have always been the times where I'll just take back those second tears and let's just hold back on the pruning for a little while, because I think I've got this and I think I can probably produce some good things, and I can live this faith that's part of me. And I can do something really good for God. And then some really terrible things happen. I don't know whether that's been the pattern for your life, but that's definitely how things have gone for mine. And I think we can also get to a place where we go, you know, God, these ones are a little bit harsh. Like I'm really attached to whatever part of me you're thinking it's going to be better to get rid of. And okay, God, you might think that that's a really good way, but I think I might just take these back for now, and I might actually just give you these ones because they're a little bit littler and a little bit more pleasant for me. We can still you know, do some pruning, but just some smaller cuts, because all the big things in my life I'm pretty attached. And then actually we could take these ones back, and we could just, does anyone see these? We could just give God, actually, God, no, you know what, I'll hold on to these, and let me show you, God, what I will prune for you. And we can take back that control, and we can make all the little choices that we think will make a big difference in God's kingdom. But these are the times, if we try to downplay what God wants to do in our life, and if we try to take the wheel, and we try to tell our loving Father, the Master Gardener, what should happen as a branch, then things aren't going to go well for us. So I'd really want to encourage us, and this is something, I generally don't pick topics to speak on that I'm good at. I find things that I'm learning and I'm struggling with, and I want to be better at. And it's really easy to think about what your identity is and all the things that make up who you are, and try to hold on to all those things. But John 15 makes it pretty clear that if we want to be a people who are part of something amazing, if we want to be part of something eternally significant, if we want to be part of God's glory, then we need to be willing for God to call the shots. And through our own strength, we could work really hard, and we could think that we're sacrificing a lot, and we could do so many things, and at the end of our days, we could like maybe hold up a grape and go, God, look, this is what I've produced for you, because I love you and I'm grateful for your salvation, and here's my grape. But God wants to do something incredible through us. He wants to do something incredible through us individually in our own lives, and he wants to do something incredible through us as a body. And I pray that we would be a people who would be willing to hand over the secateurs and go prune what needs to be pruned and get rid of even the things that I've been holding onto pretty tightly that I think makes me me. Because God knew us before the world was created. He thought of us then. And he knows what is best for us. And he knows how best to work through us. So if we're willing to go on that journey, and if we're willing to really surrender and continue to surrender, I would love to see what God would do. Let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you that you're a loving Father, Lord, who wants to see the best done in our lives. And God, I pray that you would help us as a people to see that. Lord, the things that you do, Lord, and the things that feel like discipline and the things that feel unpleasant, that you're actually using for your glory. And I want to ask that we would be a people who, Lord, would truly surrender to you, and that we would be willing to be led, Lord, way outside our comfort zones, and we would be willing to be led into situations that really don't make sense on paper. And we would be willing to trust you with producing the much fruit that you would like to produce through us. And I want to thank you that, Lord, as a people and as a broken people, that you would choose to use us still, and you would choose to graft us into you, and that you would do, Lord, wonderful things with us. Thank you for this. Amen.